Are you looking for valuable business advice to reach that seven-figure revenue mark? Do you want actionable tips to properly navigate through every business challenge you encounter along the way? Let Tersh Blissett and Josh Crouch be your guide in getting you to the top here at Service Business Mastery. Tune in as they sit down with world-renowned authors in business, leadership, and personal growth who share valuable insights about management, marketing, pricing, human resources, and so much more. Let their nuggets of wisdom gold guide you in owning a thriving, profitable, and ever-growing business. Here are your hosts, Tersh and Josh.
Hello, everyone out there in podcast world. Hope you're having a wonderful day. You are listening to or watching the Service Business Mastery podcast. I am one half of your host, and Josh, our other half, is actually not going to make it today. He's having some technical difficulties. He might be able to pop on later, but my name's Tersh Blissett, for those of you who do not know us, and this is Service Business Mastery Podcast. We focus on service business owners, managers, and technicians who are considering becoming business owners themselves in the future. Our target with this show is really to help answer some unasked questions that you may have about business or some things that you've forgotten along the way. And I'm super excited to have our guest today, Randy Stanberry, on the show. And he's from the custom home building and remodeling side of things, and he's a coach there. He has four-level coach, and he's been doing this for several years. And I love taking information from outside of our industry and really plugging it in. And for those of you who know me, know that if it's normal, I typically do the exact opposite. Normally, I have, I'm wearing a three-piece suit, but for those of you who know, I had neck surgery, and that suit, that shirt, it just rubs me raw. I try wearing it every now and then, but it's wearing me out. So I haven't been able to wear my normal attire for the show, but I'm super excited to have him on the show today. And Josh is definitely going to be missed, because I know he has lots of questions typically too. So before we get started, I really want to say thank you to all of the people who make this show possible. You who are listening and watching this episode, without you being here and engaging and asking questions and listening to the show, we wouldn't have a show to put on. And then also, I'd like to give a huge shout out to Justin and Noah and the entire team over at UpFrog. And they have some really awesome things that are coming out. They have some new things that are coming out soon. And we've had some great success using UpFrog for retargeting our existing clients, which is amazing. A lot of times you have customers that, like, our focus is get new customers. And Josh will tell you that, like, that's what everybody says. I want new customers to come in make my phone ring and get me some new customers. Well, excuse me. What we actually do is we oftentimes ignore the existing customers that we have. And one of those things that UpFrog is really great at is that retargeting our existing client list. And we actually did the campaign a couple weeks back where we reached out to existing clients who had open estimates over the past year, and ended up closing about 63,000, something like that, of business that was open. And we just had to follow up with them, and they said yes. So huge shout out to UpFrog and everything that they do. Next, Sarah Billy and his team over at Sarah. We're actually onboarding with Sarah. We've been talking about Sarah for a long time, and I was under contract, so I couldn't leave and join Sarah's team. But now we have officially pulled the trigger, and I'm super excited to be able to share personal, firsthand knowledge on exactly, you know, the ins and outs of Sarah. And I'm super excited to use them as a CRM, and it's great so far, and very, very easy transition for us so far. But a huge shout out to them. Emerson is a great technology, and the platform, they're really interested in training and giving back to the industry and making training at local tech schools possible. So if you have anybody out there, if you have a local tech school that's looking for additional training, or if you know that there's somebody out there that needs some additional training, Emerson is definitely, they are looking to do that. So reach out to them, or reach out to myself, and I'll get you connected with the guys and gals over at Emerson so that they can help give back to the industry as well. Last but not least, Company Cam. Huge shout out to Company Cam. We use Company Cam in our business, and that's, you know, it's a digital asset management tool where you can collect images and store them all in one place. And they do a great job. So we don't, you know, use up all the data on our cell phones and iPads and then have an issue searching. Cause that's the worst thing in the world is trying to go back and find, hey, I need the picture of this guy with a ductwork. And it's very difficult to go back through and just search for a specific job. And having, if you're using your cell phone or your iPad, but using something like Company Cam makes, you know, those searches extremely simple. But with that being said, I'm super excited. If you have any questions about this show, if you're listening to it live, don't hesitate to reach out and ask a question in the live chat. If you're listening to this after we've recorded this episode, don't hesitate to reach out to us, servicebusinessmastery.com on the website. There's a little button at the bottom right of the screen, and you just click that, and that actually will send a message straight to Josh and myself. So don't hesitate to reach out and ask us a question. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Hey, Randy, how are you?
Good, man. How are you doing, Trish?
Good, good. Ron Davis, good buddy of mine. He said, "What's up from Canada?" He's up in Canada right now visiting.
So on.
Huge shout out to Ron. And actually, Randy, you're up in Canada too, huh?
Yeah, I'm in the Toronto area. Yep.
Very cool. Very cool. So for those of you who don't know who Randy is, a little bit of background of Randy, would you mind giving a quick introduction of yourself, who you are, and a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, for sure. Randy Stanbury, founder of Four Level Coach, started in 2019 after selling my core business in 2017. Now, the interesting thing about that is from 2007 to 2017, I went on and started a few other businesses while that core business was operating without me. And so, you know, when I had sold that business, the realization that what I had pulled off was fairly rare. You know, most people don't get 10 years of, you know, getting a nice income from a business that was steadily growing over the years. Well, I never stepped foot in it for the last 10. And I know you and I talked about, Tersh, before the show, just kind of what you do and how you've been able to do that as well. And so what I started Four Level Coach is to teach and share with others what I did and how I did that for those that want to get to the next level. So we work with builders, custom builders, remodelers, spec builders. And really we, you know, work with guys that are over a million, somewhere in a million to 5 million range. And we really help them go from where they are to 10 to 25 plus million. And we try to do that in a 3 to 5 year time frame. If you do things right, you can get yourself set up, but you've got to get a lot of the pieces together, which is what you guys talk about each and every week, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So what do you find is one of the biggest hurdles that as a business owner, that they're facing whenever you're talking to them, when they first join with you or even interviewing you?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, number one, I think the number one problem in most businesses is getting the numbers right? Getting our pricing and financials dialed in. You know, here's the problem is, and I see the smile. I mean, you know this already, you know, 98%, you know, believe it or not, 98%, and I'm sure you guys talked about this, but 98% of just business owners in general do not look at or understand their financials that are the key metric to our business. The only thing that really matters, everything else stems from those metrics. And if we don't understand or know how to read them or look at them on any consistent basis, then really we're just showing up to do shit every day that, where are we going with this thing and what's the point and purpose? So without knowing that, that's number one. That the first and foremost, we've got to get and understand our financials and then build our pricing based on that. I think far too often we're throwing pricing at the wall because it's market value or it's what, you know, the industry will bear. Well, bullshit, the industry will bear what you bring to value. And we're not looking at that in our business typically, right?
Yeah.
You know, what are we bringing to the table to price according, right? And so it's all about value and not price. So we've got that's first and foremost.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you feel like, how often should somebody be looking at their numbers? And when you say their numbers, you're talking P&L, balance sheet,
cash,
anything
flow.
Else, like any kind of a specific KPI that you think that people should be looking at that they're not looking at?
Right. Well, and KPIs, I mean, we have our 12 critical numbers, 12 critical sort of financial KPIs in our business. And again, on the service side of things, it's going to be slightly different because now we've got, billable hours as a metric. I mean, that's a real key metric, right? If we can get that billable hours dialed in, that makes a whole lot more sense. We understand our labor burden, right? Labor burdens kill guys, but they don't understand the metric of that and what it takes to understand what it actually costs us. I mean, I don't know how many times, we work with, a lot of teams of guys that self-perform work with as remodelers, especially not as much as the builders, but on the remodeling side, we're self-performing work. So we've got guys in the field. And I ask them, they tell me that they pay them $30 an hour, $40 an hour, whatever the number is, right? And I say, well, that's great, but what do they cost you? And they say, well, I just told you, they $30 an hour. That's what I pay them. That's what they cost me. Like, well, there's a red flag, right? And so if we don't understand what they truly cost us, how can we be pricing accordingly to understand how do we make any money? So for me, without getting the money and the metrics of the money figured out first, why do we help you grow or do anything more to the next level until that's dialed in, right? So that's number one.
So with that being said, do you feel like for that industry, for the construction industry, the building side of things, the fully loaded labor rate or the full burden rate, I guess is what I would usually say, is it similar to the industry, to like the home service industries, as far as trying to figure that out?
Yeah, I think it's extremely similar. I mean, the formula is no different, right? So it's the same. Right.
Gotcha. Now, when you said self-performance, what do you mean exactly by that?
Well, self-performing, like as a remodeler or a builder, and more the builder than the remodeler, unless you're doing larger remodels. The guys are self-performing work, meaning we have our own teams of labor in the field, skilled labor, getting work done. As a custom builder, often we are subcontracting a lot of the work out. So we're actually more of a logistics or project management business than we are a builder. Sure, we're a builder. That's what we do, but we're a logistics company. And this is what we help guys understand is what business are you really in? Yeah, you're a home builder. Well, you're in logistics and that's project management. So if you understand that, then that's a whole different world.
It is. It's wild that you mentioned that because the mindset is a little different there between being the builder or the carpenter versus being the logistics guy or gal, and you're managing a project. When you're the carpenter, you're like, okay, this is step one, step two, step three. Like we know you have to do the foundation, you have to do your walls. And the same with being a technician in the field, kind of goes back to the E-myth where you have your manager or you have your,
skilled technician.
So, and a lot of times we can become a great technician and say, okay, well, I'm going to run the business better than the guy that I'm working for because I'm an amazing technician. But then you don't realize that you need to have a different mindset completely to be that entrepreneur or the business owner.
Yeah, 100%. I think, and that's where most of us start our business from because we're the skilled technician. And being a skilled technician does not mean you're going to be a great business owner. Here's the thing about this industry and the service industry included, this is the hardest working industry to me on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. These guys do not mind putting 60 to 80 plus hours in, full out to get work done. But the thing is, I'd like to transition that time and how we spend our time quite a bit differently so that we can leverage ourselves and our business, our teams, and actually do far more with it. Because when we're just balls out 60 plus hours a week, we're going to hit a ceiling because we can't get to the next level as a skilled technician without working on the business. We all know the on and the in. If we're not working on it, it's, and then one of the challenges, as I'm sure you come across all the time with guys, is, you know, if I'm a skilled technician and that's what I do, that's what I'm comfortable with, right? So that's where I'm going to spend my time. I'm going to stay in my comfort zone. To get outside that comfort zone is a real stretch, right? So even if you get me outside that comfort zone, often what we're here to do and help people, and your show was doing to help people, is understand what the hell do you do when you get out of the, in the business and working on it? What do I actually do now?
So that, I run into this all the time, and I've been guilty of it myself. As soon as something happens and you're like, all right, well, I'll just go get in the van and I'll fix it myself. To listen to the guys and the gals that are talking, they're like, I can't get out of the van. Like, how do I just get out of the van?
Yeah, sure.
And for me, it was in 2018, I just hired a guy, like whenever I first started that business. And I said, look, I'm not going to get in the van. I won't be in the van from day one. I won't even purchase a van for me to drive.
No tools is a great way to do it.
It is. And it is a challenge, because there are times where I could go in and save the day and have the hero complex. And, but the problem is that when I do something like that, and we're all guilty of it, if we do it, the business takes a back seat to it. So you might have saved the day that day or that week or even that month, but then the following weeks or months to come have been hindered one way or the other. Even if it's now I have 150 emails to check tomorrow because I didn't do anything today, or whatever the case is, it's going to put you back. If you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and you still have to have, as long as you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing or should be doing as a business owner, you still have stuff to go back to finish, or you're going to do it at night. And that's a recipe for burnout.
Yeah. It's that night, the weekends, man, we hear that all the time, man. And this is where you get into the 80 plus hours a week, you know, it's 60 in the field and 80, you know, another 20 to catch up. And then we get these ebbs and flows. Sorry, go ahead, man.
Well, no, I'm just thinking, like, what do you tell people whenever they ask you that question? Like, what do I do if I'm not in the van? Because there's times when I feel guilty. Like, here I am sitting in an office and the guys are just killing themselves in the field.
Yeah.
Like, should I be doing something different?
I think this is the problem. And you nailed it. I was thinking it, you know, when you were talking about the challenge of it. And one of the biggest challenges is the guilt, you know. These guys have been working typically in the field beside their, you know, their team. And there's this guilt. There's this immediate guilt. As soon as I pull out of there, I'm not going to get in the van. And as soon as you say I'm not getting in the van, there's this guilt complex that comes over us. Because, but if we could truly shift our mindset and our perspective that you're actually doing a disservice to the guys in the field by continuing to be with them in the field, because your opportunities are going to be far less if you can't provide them growth in the business. We all want some form of growth. You know, as human beings, we are built to grow, you know, to be challenged. And when we aren't able to give someone else that opportunity because we're in the field, we're doing them a total disservice, but we don't see it that way. Right.
Right.
You know, and so
do you think that the technicians in the field see it that way, or is that something that you have to constantly communicate with the technicians? I feel like there's some abandonment feelings sometimes.
And so to me, it's all about framing, right? It's all about the understanding and sharing vision. I'm a big proponent of sharing vision. Well, one thing, you know, first, do you not have to have a vision to be able to share?
Right. You have to know what you're going to do too. Right. Sometimes it's like, flying by a seat of pants. I can't just say I'm flying by a seat of pants.
You know? Right. Well, we have to have a vision. If we had a vision, we wouldn't be flying by the seat of our pants.
Right. Exactly.
Because there'd be a real purpose and a direction for what we do each day. But because we don't have a vision to start with, we don't have that plan. And therefore, if the team doesn't understand what the vision is, I think there is that abandonment. So we have to, you know, really share with them, where are we going? What are we doing? What is my purpose here? Let them know you feel guilty to pull off. But, you know, here's the thing. If I don't pull off, I'm actually doing you a disservice to be able to not take this business to the next level. And if I can't get to the next level, I can't provide you any new opportunities. And so my goal is to provide you with more opportunities. I'm not going to feel guilty about that. They won't feel abandoned, and therefore we can move forward together. Right. So I think that's a big part, correct?
Yeah. 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 I agree 100%. Okay. So let's pivot a little bit now. You mentioned before that whenever you're working with clients, they're typically 1 to 5 million and you're working towards the 10 to 25 million. Mm-hmm. That's your end goal or whatnot. Whenever we're talking about vision and building our vision board or whatever, you know, our 3 to 5 year targets,
right.
When you're talking to someone, how are you deciding those numbers, especially for a newer company, like a young company that's only been there for a couple of years? And you're like, it's easy to say, okay, I'm going to go to 5 million and I'm only at, 800,000.
Right.
It's easy just to throw a number at the wall, but to make a realistic vision plan for the next 3 to 5 years, or even, next year is easy because you can even say like us do 20% more than we did this year.
That's, and the 20% are easy, right?
Right. Exactly.
But the 20% is also like, to me, that's almost table stakes.
Like, right. That's inflation almost.
Yeah, that's the shit that is just going to happen organically as long as we keep showing up and doing the right things. Where, when I'm talking about vision and helping someone, because to me, here's the thing. Most of us cannot stretch beyond our current set of beliefs about where we stand.
Exactly.
Right? So we're in a place, and in that place,
and most of the times it takes a different set of beliefs to
big time
to get to that next level.
And this is what we have to put together. I mean, our first weeks with us, we are just peeling away limiting beliefs as much as possible, because if we don't do that, I can't help you. In fact, one of the things that you and I were going to talk about is just having, how we get in our own way of our own growth. And to me, the only thing that's stopping us getting to where we want to go is right in here, our head. It's ourselves. It's our beliefs. And now what is our beliefs based on? Our past. So everything that's happened up to date says, how am I going to get there in 3 years? I've just spent the last 10 years not getting very far. And maybe I went from 500 to 800 and maybe I just cracked 1 million, right? But that took me 5 years. How could I possibly think I'm going to do 5 in the next 3, right? But the fact is, you've done that based on, the way you've been operating. Well, if you're working with us or, anyone that's going to help you really get to the next level, we're stripping that whole model away and getting you doing the right thing. Spending your 60 plus hours a week doing the right things will actually make a difference. So, we are all about eating the elephant. The elephant needs to be eaten a bite at a time. But the thing is, we need to take the right bites in the right order. And if we don't do that, we're in trouble.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you can't put the cart before the horse, or the horse before the cart, whatever the saying is.
Yeah.
what do you say to guys and gals who are experiencing either like a lack of motivation or they're at that burned out stage? Like I almost feel like that's a self-imposed roadblock as well.
It's a great point, right? Like these things happen because of a lack of momentum. It's being stuck. When we're stuck, we get burned out. We're, this is the 60, 80 plus hours a week, stuck, not getting anywhere. Seems like we're on that hamster wheel. And the truth is, the hamster wheel is a great metaphor for where most of us are in our business.
Yeah.
We're running 1 million miles an hour, not getting anywhere. We're going to burn out eventually. Mm-hmm. Right. Like we're literally not moving. And that's the thing. If I have a hard time justifying putting a number down on paper, that's my goal in 3 years, when I'm going as hard as I can go today. So what could possibly get me there? Well, here's how we
exactly.
Again, you got guys on here all the time, guys, gals on here talking about success and what they've done in their world. Well, here's what I know for sure is that anyone that is listening to this can get to something extraordinary that they don't believe possible today. And you know how I know that? because others are doing it now. Others have done it already. It's happening every day around us. So they're just choosing to do different things than you're doing right now if you're stuck. And this is what we have to unleash. You got to break through of the shit that keeps us on that hamster wheel.
How do you figure that out, though? I mean, it's almost like you have to have a therapist or a psychologist or something. It's like, all right, let's talk about your childhood.
That's great.
So, I mean,
there is a
whenever you're coming in, well, when you're going in and you're having that conversation with someone, how do you determine their roadblocks? Because there's ego involved as being a business owner. And most of the times you go in, it's just like if you're going to say marriage counseling, you don't want it to be your fault. You go in and you're talking and you're like, we're going to spill the tea, but we're not going to say anything about what I'm doing wrong. Right. So I feel like even, you know, as a coach or anybody that a mentor or anything, whenever you're having a conversation with someone who's struggling, it's going to be obviously once they feel like they can trust you and lay into you a little bit. You know, it's a little bit easier to pull information out of them, but most of the times we don't want to have the glaring, you know, thorn pricked out of our eye. How do you do that?
Well, I would say, I mean, we have a tool to do exactly that. And, it's sort of the same thing I would say is, I've never had to fire anyone. They've always fired themselves.
Yeah.
Right? You know, as long as I set up the groundwork in advance, they will fire themselves. I won't. Right.
Right.
Now that's,
you know, they know what the expectation is.
Yeah. So, you know, the expectation, you're not following it. I need to let you go maybe, or my team is going to let you go. But you did that, not me. Cause we were very clear. Now, if we're not clear, that's different. That's a whole nother topic, but it's the same sort of thing about what you're talking about there. You know, we don't want to admit maybe our faults or where we have problems. But at the end of the day, if we're a true entrepreneur, we better take responsibility for everything that goes on. And that's one of them is us. But, you know, beyond that, we have a tool. We refer to it. It's called the Time Finder. The Time Finder is a fabulous tool that really helps you understand where are you spending your time. Hey, man, if I want to lose 30 pounds, you know, what's the best way to do that? Well, let's track everything you're putting in your mouths over the next, you know, week, 2 weeks, a month, right? We're gonna learn some things. So you're just going to unravel those things for yourself. I'm not going to have to point them out or tell you, but we have to follow a tool. The tool is basically to see where are you spending your time. We refer to it as scope of work. What's your scope of work? What's your daily, weekly, monthly activities? How are you spending your time? It's going to reveal a lot. Now we have.
What's the intervals on that?
Do this. What's that?
Well, what's the intervals on that? I mean, I've seen them like every 15 minutes you're notating, and I've seen them like at the end of the day, you kind of reflect on what you're doing.
Sure.
But then
you can get.
I feel like that's too broad.
I think it's one. I don't want to get too granular with it where we're looking at every 15 minutes. You know, just look at every hour. This, like, what did you do in the morning? You know, did were you running around quoting jobs? Were you picking up material? How many times were guys picking up material, you know, and trying to help guys out at job sites when, you know, what you could pay to have that done as opposed
to,
you know, spending your time doing that as an owner?
I mean, there's even Uber out there that'll do it.
Like, and we have here in the Toronto area anyway, Rental Run, you know, there's businesses set up to actually help you do that, but we're not. So this tool walks you through exactly that. So let's just say we're running around. We spent, you know, 2 hours today running around on job sites, you know, getting your team things they need or forgot. Why did they forget? Because you didn't have a system before you left to make sure they had everything they needed, right? Yep. So the trucks and vans aren't loaded with the right, you know, supplies. How many times supplier trips for you guys, right? You know, supplier trips are killers, man. And so again, it comes back to metrics. Let's be tracking. You know, we worked with, you know, HVAC companies, worked with plumbers. I actually have a plumbing business myself. You know, I have a lot of different things going on. I've worked with a lot of different people. Working with an HVAC company, we help reduce their supplier trips literally by 60% by just tracking those trips for 2 weeks.
And the things, it blow your mind how often you're getting the same thing from a supply house. And it's the same things that could be replenished every morning or whatever on your vans.
Yeah,
and it's just, if you did a proper inventory check.
If you had, but that's called a system. And right. If you don't have a system, then we're just going to work every day. And hey, if you want to get to the next level, you got to start doing some things differently. So this three-year vision, three-year, five-year, you want to get to 5 million and really, you know, put your balls on the line, then the bottom line is you can't keep doing what you're doing today. This is what I love about a stretch goal. A stretch goal helps us. We got to go beyond what we're doing. We can't keep showing up like we're showing up. We cannot keep doing the same thing. We have to do things differently, which forces us to change our business. Now, this 20% you mentioned, you can keep doing the same thing and eventually get to a 20% growth.
Right. So would you ever say that there's something too big? Like I have a buddy of mine, like, Mike McAllowitz, who's a personal mentor of mine. And he has this BHAG, very big, hairy, audacious goal that he talks about a lot. So is there something that you feel like is ever too, like more than your BHAG? Like it's, all right, 10 million after 500,000, that's probably not realistic. And
here's what I believe is there's, and this came from Dan Sullivan. If you're familiar with Dan Sullivan, you know, I've been in Dan's world for years and you know, this I got from him. I can't take credit, but you know, bottom line is, you know, there's no unrealistic goals, just unrealistic timeframes. So it's not about the BHAG per se.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good
it's point. About the timing of it, right? So if the BHAG, the big audacious goal, big hairy audacious goal is 10 million, then let it be that. My belief is don't sell yourself short and say, well, I can't get there, so let's call it five. If that's what you want, call it that. And now let's go after it and set the time frame properly.
So do you ever run into anybody, because I know I have, where you've set a BHAG and didn't even come close to it, and then instantly
they're end of deflated, and
you're just like, all right, well, I'm never gonna do it then. Like, if I couldn't do it this time, it'll never happen again. And then it's like, shit, I never should have made it that big, because you set yourself up for failure.
And these things happen. We have endless amounts of tools for this. And the reason I have endless amounts of tools, because this is how I got my success, by using these things, and I needed them for my own business. That's why I'm sharing them, you know, with the guys to work with today. Right. So it's the execution loop. So it's this literal figure eight, right? The figure eight is all about, like, we got to set our, every 90 days we come back to our vision, and then we're talking about our 1 year goal. So you might not be hitting your target in 90 days, but we have to be reviewing, evaluating, and adjusting course. And that's the only way to success, is to constantly be reviewing, evaluating, and adjusting course. So why did I not hit target? Why did I fall so short? What happened? Let's analyze it. Let's review it. Let's evaluate, and then let's adjust course. And so the next 90 days are very different than the last, or they might not be very different, but you better be reviewing and analyzing, to me, on a weekly basis. I believe, you know, I look at business as a sport, and it's the best sport I've ever played by far. I've played hockey, baseball, you know, any other sport I've played for fun. But this is the best sport I've ever played by far. And at the end of the day, I look at it as, we have a 52 game schedule, which is 52 weeks a year, and every week is a new game. And every Monday morning, that's why I love Monday mornings, because I get to start a new game, and we get to start with a clean slate. And at the end of that week, we get to review and evaluate, did we win or lose? And what does winning and losing look like? What does that even mean? Right. And so these are where we go back to those KPIs you mentioned in the beginning, right? You know, if getting to a certain destination is the end goal, what is winning, small wins along the way, look like? And how does that get me there? Right. I want to win more.
Let me ask you this. When you talk about winning, that brings up a great point. As a business owner, the type of business owner that I've been in the past anyways, I tend to get motivated by failure more than success. Like success is expected. Failure is not. So when I get, when we have a failure or we have a something, a freak out moment, that's whenever I'm like super calm, super focused and in the game, I guess. So what that what happens is I fail to reward myself whenever I do have successes, when we do win. It's easy to reward the team. It's easy to do that. But then, for me, the money's not a reward, like to me personally.
So let me ask you, what is the reward?
Lack of failure? The lack of failure would be a reward more than anything. And I know that's a personal, like, childhood psychology thing. Like, I know where that comes from.
Yeah.
I've actually talked to a business psychologist about that. And they, you know, because I used to beat on my chest and say, hey, I'm a wartime leader. Whenever it's rough, that's whenever I'm a leader, I lead the best. And then, the psychologist that I spoke with, he actually was like, you know, that's probably a stemming from a childhood drama of some sort. And, I was like, well, we dove into it and figured out, yeah, that it is. And so it's not so much a badge and honor that I should be wearing, the fact that, Mike Disney is a great friend of mine, and jacked up limos are the real reward. So I have a limousine that's jacked up. So I am a car guy. Actually, I don't have a long sleeve shirt on, so you can see I have a full sleeve of car park tattoos.
Cool, man.
And that's really like being able to work on cars and mess with cars is more of a reward. But I think that stems from the ability to have free time because I'm not working in the business so much. But at the same time, like, say I'm at $5 million in revenue, but I want to be at $10 million in revenue. My mental state is I'm not taking off this afternoon to go work on cars and hang out and all of that good jazz. I'm going to focus on building more.
Yeah,
I'm not at 10 million yet. So it's like, once I get to 10 million, it's going to move to 15. I already know. And so like, it's a constant, the finish line never is a definite finish line. So then there's never a definite satisfaction of reaching the end goal and then rewarding yourself. So what do you say to people who have that same complex as I do?
You know, you might find this funny, but I'll go back to Dan Sullivan. What I'd say to them is read the book, The Gain and the Gap. Because, you know,
okay. So that is an amazing recommendation. I actually have read that, listened to it actually a couple times.
Yeah. But. And so is that not like that? That's,
it is
like you're in the gap.
When the small wins.
Yeah. It's what we're talking about, the weekly wins. And once you're not in the gap, and the thing is, no matter where we are, we always want to be there, not here.
Yep.
And so no matter what we're doing, we never got there. And even with our,
it's hilarious that you say that. And it's hilarious that Mike Disney brings up the limo, because, I have this jacked up limo that's just a head turner everywhere it goes. But as soon as it's like where it's at now, I instantly was like, I want to do a different one that's newer and nicer.
Yeah. That's like, it's okay, but you know, it's not.
That was a cool project.
Yeah. That was fun. As soon as it's done, we need the next one. I'm good with that, but I think we do need to celebrate the small wins along. I also think those failures are the most important things that we have in our business. And it's actually, embracing failure and rocking failure and taking that and leveraging the shit out of that is one of the entrepreneurial traits that is critical, right? It is.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
You know, so it's interesting.
Yeah. So Disney's in the chat right now talking about, jacking up a school bus now. So don't put ideas in my mind, Disney. but yeah. No, man, I really do. I appreciate everything that you've mentioned here. And I know that the audience has too. If they want to learn more about you and four level coaching, what's the best way for that to happen, to connect with you?
Well, one, I mean, you can reach out to me directly, Randy@4levelcoach.com. But check out 4levelcoach.com. Our website's got all our programs and what we do and how we do what we do. You know, we're constantly evolving and changing. What are we doing, right? Just like any other business, we're always, you know, constantly reviewing, evaluating, and adjusting course, our vision. Now, here's the thing about vision. My belief is we're going through this execution loop. It's literally a figure eight. Every 90 days, we're just evaluating, is our vision still aligned where it was 90 days ago? Because here's the thing. If we set our vision and we don't look at it for 3 years, then, right. You know, and the thing is about our business, if we have momentum, if we're moving forward, if we're moving the needle, now I call them vitals. Vitals are our needle movers. If we're moving the needle, then our vision is constantly changing because we have momentum that's given us new belief about what's possible. Therefore, our vision changes, our goals change, and our next 90 days change. And as long as we know where we're going in the next 12 months, I know what I'm going to do in the next 90 days, right? And so
let me ask you about that really quick. And I'm sorry, because I said that we were going to wrap things up, but I have a question based on that. My ADD kicked in on there.
Let's do it. I'm with you.
The vision. So Disney is a personal friend and coach of mine, a mentor, and we've built out the vision plan for 5 years from now.
Sure.
And you mentioned, you know, staying on top of your vision, which I totally agree with. You know, it's got to be posted places so people can read it and all of that, so that everybody knows.
Needs to understand it.
Exactly. And I agree with that. And, you know, we spoke beforehand that we're a remote company where we do everything remote, which makes it a little bit more challenging to have something posted, because I'm not going to post it on every person's, you know, wall in their house. But we have to communicate that vision with everybody.
Sure.
How often would you update your vision? Let me say this best. So here's my thought. I don't want to update it so often that it confuses everyone and no one knows what it is. And I don't want to move the goalpost for my technician or for my team. So like for me, I know what it does to me internally when I constantly move the goalpost on myself. Mm. I don't want to do that to the team and then say, okay, we've reached our $5 million goal. That's not good enough anymore. We reached it in October instead of December. So now it's going to be $12 million instead of $5 million. Now it's the burdens on the tech. But then at the same time, I don't want to turn December into a coast month either.
Right.
Because we hit our goal in November. You know what I mean? So right. How often do you update the vision without it becoming too often of an update?
Well, for me, internally for me, I need to be at least, we call it vision testing. I need to test every 90 days if my vision still makes sense to me. Now, likely you don't have massive shifts in your vision. It's not going to be stuff that, you know, you have to share with everyone. My belief is we should be sharing at least on an annual basis about where we're going and how that. If you're sharing every 90 days about change, you'll lose people in the process for sure.
Exactly.
But the truth is you mentally might have some shifts along the way that you know for yourself that we're putting in some new paths, a new direction, which may need to be injected into the business. So it really depends on, you know, how massive those shifts are. There's a realization, and this is, you know, again, usually early on when people are working with us, there's a realization that the business model that we're in isn't actually the vehicle that's going to get us to where we want to go.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's like you mentioned earlier in the show, you know, what you know now is not what you need to know to get to where you got to
go. Right. Okay? And so those things shift.
Absolutely. And
we got to share that.
Yeah. And you can't be afraid of that. And I think that goes into the culture of the company as well. Like, hey, things are going to change. If you have an opposition to the change, you know, please voice that opposition, please, or concern or whatever it might be.
Sure.
With the change that's coming. For me, that like the only constant with me is change. So like if it's running too smooth, there's probably going to be some change coming. And it's probably just because we need to challenge ourselves more in one area or facet or another. But what I heard you say is that we need to at least once a year have like a State of the Union conversation.
Yeah, I call it my Holiday Inn, meeting, where we get off site, we're all meeting, and I don't give a shit if the Holiday Inn or anywhere else, but that's just, so we're doing it off site and we're getting together, and that's where, we're going to spend a day, an afternoon, we're going to spend some time together and get really clear about, how things went. We're reviewing, evaluating, and we're constantly adjusting course. But I think that's the main ticket. And then we're doing that on a regular basis, right? Like we're constantly, if we're not meeting on a weekly basis with our team about, our small wins, that's the real, like we have a meeting pulse that I believe has to be injected and very specific agendas for each of those meetings along the way, because meetings suck for the most part. But if you make them right and make them very powerful, it's how you run this bus.
That's the challenge. I hate to have a meeting just for sake of having a meeting. Like
no one wants
the the bane of my existence. You finish a meeting and everybody under their breath is like, that could have been an email.
We don't want.
I was like,
we have to keep people on track, and therefore we need consistency with those. Same day, same time, regardless. No matter if you're there or not there, that thing goes.
Yeah, that's a huge factor, because there's times where I can't be at the meeting, but it still needs to happen. Exactly. Yeah. Cool, Randy. Again, I appreciate you hanging out with us, man. I really do.
Brother.
I agree 100%. If anybody has any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to Randy and his team. If you for some reason forget randy@4levelcoach.com. Yeah. And reach out to me or Josh. Josh will be clueless because he wasn't here. He'll be like, Tersh, what are they talking about? And I'll be like, I don't remember. No, I'm just kidding. But don't forget servicebusinessmastery.com. At the bottom right, we have the little button there, and it's not a chat bar like a normal website. It's actually a pretty cool feature that records your conversation and can send it over to us. But with that being said, I hope you have a wonderful and safe week. If you're not subscribed already, please subscribe follow us for more of this weekly content. But I hope you have a wonderful and safe week. Until we talk again next time, we'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Service Business Mastery. Now that you are equipped with essential business advice from this impactful conversation, you are one step closer to becoming the successful owner of your dreams. If this episode has been helpful to your business journey, don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a rating, and share it with other owners as well. Visit servicebusinessmastery.com to learn more.